Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today in the life of the church, in what we call the liturgical calendar, is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. It's a Sunday set aside by several denominations to recognize the scriptures where Jesus himself was baptized. Now John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, has been calling people of the Jewish faith to repent from their errors and from straying away from God and calling them to baptism. And then Jesus shows up. And so these are the words. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3, and we're just going to look at verses 13 through 17. But I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and the reverence of the reading of this gospel lesson. So all these people, countless people, way more than we could even fit in this place, are coming down and hearing the words of John to be baptized. And then we see this in the 13th verse of the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, and with him I am well pleased. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I debated on whether to start this way because, well, there's just some areas of my life that still need some sanctification. But one of my favorite movies to watch growing up, I guess, was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Anybody? Some of you are chuckling. You've seen it. Now you know why I was a little bit hesitant to share it in church, right? But there's a scene, and this group of people dressed in their white baptism robes are singing, headed down to the river to pray. They're all going down to be baptized, and the three escaped convicts see this and follow them down to the river. And then Delmar just sprints and takes his coat off, hands it to him, sprints into the water, cuts in front of all these good Christian folk, and is dunked under the water, and one of his friends says, well, Delmar done been saved. And then Delmar begins walking back to him. He said, that's it, boys, I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's straight and narrow from here on out. Heaven everlasting is my reward. And then the head honcho of the group says, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry. And he said, the preacher said, all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked off. And again, the lead character says, I thought you said you was innocent of them charges. He said, well, I was lying. And the preacher said, that sin was washed away too. Neither God nor man has nothing on me now. And then he says, come on in, boys. The water's fine. The theology might not be great, but the image is. And it's today I've struggled this week on what to talk about. Because baptism is a very touchy subject in the church world. If you've grown up in church or you've ever been to a family reunion where different people believe different things, baptism's a topic you either argue about or you just don't talk about. And so I've decided to give that disclaimer up front, and this is the way that I've kind of settled on it. I think everybody in their heart wants to believe the best they can. And disagreements are okay. I come from a tradition very different than some of you that came from different traditions growing up. But we see in the 11th verse of the chapter 3 that I did not read, John tells the people, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I, he's talking about Jesus, is coming after me, and I am not worthy to even carry his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So today, if you do much searching on any Methodist website, you will see that we proclaim our baptism is in water and the Spirit. And so I just want to talk to you from my heart a little bit today. But John said that water was for repentance. He was calling these people into repentance. Repentance is not being sorry for something. It's acknowledging that something is opposite of God's will and turning from it and returning to God's will. We live in a society now where if we say we're sorry, we expect it to be better. But if you've ever been hurt by someone dear to you, sometimes I'm sorry is not good enough, right? Sometimes we have to say I'm sorry, but then show that we're going to be different. And we have to regain and earn that trust back. This is a prayer that we pray when we baptize people. It does not matter in the Methodist Church. It's not a secret. We baptize infants. We baptize children. We baptize adults. We do it in three different ways. We do it through sprinkling. We do it through cupping and pouring over the head. And we do it, and the way we say it in Welford is we dunk them. And I've got a lot of friends. I didn't know Methodists dunk people. Come down Main Street next time you see a hot tub inflated out front. It's about time we get somebody wants to be dunked in the hot tub again. I don't know when that's ever been done before, but I'm proud to say it was done here. But this is what we pray. We say, Eternal Father, your mighty acts of salvation have been made known through water. From the moving of your Spirit upon the waters of creation to the deliverance of your people through the flood and the Red Sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. He was nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John, and he was anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And then we pray, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water. It's not the water that's powerful, it's the Holy Spirit. And on those who receive it, to wash away their sins, to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we, amen. But there are so many things that happens in baptism. And the way that you see baptism, it changes based on when you were baptized, if you were baptized, what denomination you were baptized in, and what age you are. Baptism for an infant child, when Anna Claire was baptized, it meant something very different than when we baptize some of the adults that we baptized here. It's a different place in our spiritual journey. The theology of the Methodist Church does not believe that there is anything salvific. That means that salvation does not come from water baptism. Salvation comes from faith in Christ. So we believe that baptism is a sacrament. It's how we experience God's grace. It's a vehicle God uses to pour his grace into our hearts. But that salvation, the saving grace, comes from putting our faith in Christ. That's why we say it's twofold. It's water and spirit. When we baptize people, it does not matter what age, we are incorporating them. We are bringing them into the universal Catholic Church. Some of you have a problem with our Apostles' Creed because it says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And I get it. But if you'll look, next time you look, there's two little asterisks beside it. And underneath it says universal. Catholic meant universal by definition before the Catholic Church used it. And so it means universal church. So what we say when somebody is baptized, we're saying this child, this adult, is one of God's many children. And we see examples of that in Scripture today. When Jesus comes up from the water it says a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved, of whom I am well pleased." And I have to believe that if he loved us enough to give his son for us, he says the same thing about each and every one of us. "This is my beloved daughter, and I'm well pleased that she's been incorporated into my family. This is my beloved son, and I am well pleased that he has been incorporated into my family." Water has been important all throughout Scripture. It was water that the Holy Spirit used to help make creation. Sure, we recognize that water is for repentance, it's for new life, it's for being united with Christ, and that means in his death and his resurrection. But then we also claim that the Holy Spirit is a part of it. And what that means is there are a lot of people, even in Scripture, we saw this in Acts chapter 8. Have we got to 8 yet? Or are we doing 8 today? You know, you've already done yours today. You fell asleep. She didn't read. She fell asleep reading. But anyway, in Acts chapter 8, there's a Samaritan village, and they've accepted the word of God, and they've been baptized in the name of Jesus, but it says the Holy Spirit had not been given to them yet. So Peter and John go down and pray that the Holy Spirit, that they would accept the Holy Spirit, and they eventually lay hands and pray for them. And then they accept the Holy Spirit of God. And so sometimes we can get stuck between the water and the Holy Spirit. And sadly, I think that's where we find too many of our churches and too many people who proclaim to be Christian, is we will say, "Well, I'm good, because I've been baptized." Your baptism was your starting line, not your finishing line. Your baptism started your journey in growing forever with God. It's not the end. Too many times we think this is our get out of jail free card. "Well, I go to church, I've been baptized." But is the Holy Spirit guiding and directing your life? I think that's the real question that we need to see. If you continue into Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is then led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Isn't that funny? Jesus is perfect, comes to be baptized, is publicly professed to be the beloved Son, and then the Spirit leads him out into temptation. He's not even done any ministry yet. When we baptize people, we either ask their sponsors or them to answer these three questions. We say, "Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins?" It's a pretty tough question. I mean, we tell them, "Say I do," because that's how we move on to the next question. But if we're truly going to grow in our faith, if we're truly going to let the Holy Spirit guide us as a church, how are we doing? Then we say, "Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?" And then we ask them, "Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races?" Now, I do want to say, from those of you not from the Methodist tradition, when we baptize children, infants or toddler or whatever, they then have to answer these questions before the congregation at some point on their own. We don't believe their parents can do it for them. Their grandparents can't do it for them. At some point, they have to stand before God and the congregation and profess openly Christ as their Savior. There's an old hymn called "Wash, O God, Our Sons and Daughters." I love the way it ends. It says, "We, your people, stand before you, water washed and spirit born." Isn't that beautiful? Water washed and spirit born. "By your grace, our lives we offer." See, just like anything else, it doesn't matter if it's sacraments like baptism and communion, or if it's prayer and scripture or church community, God makes the first step to give us his grace. We have to then accept it. We can't earn it. He gives it. We receive it. Recreate us, God transform. Being baptized by water in the Spirit means, God, I want you to recreate in me who you first created us to be, and that's made in the image of God. That we get back to living our holy lives. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, what then? Should we go on sinning so grace should abound? Basically what he's saying is, we've been baptized. Can we just keep on sinning because God loves us that much? Because that's what they were doing. And he emphatically says, no. No, do you not know in your baptism you died to the old and you were raised in the newness of life? The Holy Spirit will always be a touchy topic in most churches because we're scared of it. Because we don't understand it, because every time when we celebrate Pentecost, we don't like it because the preacher reads the entire chapter of Acts chapter 2. It takes 20 minutes to get through the scripture lesson that day because you got to have the whole story. But then we hear that they started speaking in tongues and doing things that scare us, right? But being filled with the Holy Spirit means our hearts have been transformed and we actually look and live like Jesus. It doesn't mean you have to speak a language you've never heard before. It means that my heart has been changed and I am now on a lifelong journey of growing in grace. You know, even before going into ministry, I made our pastor sit down with me and explain to me why it was okay for my son to be baptized as an infant. I was good enough with what he gave me. I trusted it. But we made him have that conversation with us. So please don't, I'm not trying to convince you to believe what I believe. I respect the differences of opinions. I'm open to talking with anybody about it. But I think we need to get back to remembering that we're baptized believers in Christ. Honestly, can you think of the last time you woke up and you thought to yourself, I've been baptized in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and I'm going to live today that way? I can tell you when the last time I did it, when we did a Remember Your Baptism service. I hadn't thought about it since then. I can tell you the time before that. It was when we did a Remember Your Baptism service. But if we remembered that we've been washed clean, or as Delmore would say, we've been washed. I love, he said, my trends and transgressions been washed away. But what he's missing is the Holy Spirit then comes and changes our lives forever. Our children are crazy. I love them. But they're crazy. And I see, like most of you, when they do something special, I think to myself, they become more and more like me every day. But then when they do something bad, I say, Stacy, they act like you more and more every day. Now, there's two mamas in here that would tell you both of those are a lie. But as our children, right, or even somebody in our family, a grandchild or something, the more time you spend with people in your family, 20 years from now, you start acting like them. But if that's true of our earthly children, should it not be true with our Heavenly Father too? Should people not be able to say, you know what, you've been a believer for 5 years. You look more like your father. Hey, you've been a believer for 2 weeks. You look more like your father than you used to. Hey, you've been a believer as long as I've known you. But something about you looks more like Jesus now than it ever has. That's what being baptized by the water and the Spirit means. It means that, yes, we've been obedient to Christ because he told us to be baptized. But then he told us to go and baptize and make disciples of other people. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Today I want to give you the opportunity to do just that. And that's exactly what it is, just an opportunity. It's not mandated, it's not required. But at some point, especially if you were baptized as an adult. Now, if you were baptized as an adult, I want you to hear me. When you stood wherever you stood and water was sprinkled, poured, or you were dunked under, you had a feeling in your heart like you'd never had before. Today, I want you to remember that feeling. Let it guide and direct your life again. Some of us don't remember a thing about our baptism. All I remember is it was on a Sunday. Get it? Thank you. Because you do it at church. But what I can remember is what God did for me. What he continues to do for me. And what the Holy Spirit will do for me if I'll let it have more of my life. So we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns. We're going to sing, "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian." And during that time, if you want to come down and you want to dip your hand in the water, then I want you to hear these words, just to remember your baptism and be thankful. If you'd like to come forward and remember your baptism, please do so. If you'd like to kneel and pray, please do so. If you'd like me or somebody else to pray with you, please let us know that as well.